Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, I know it's Veterans Day here. Here's what I want, not just for Veterans Day, but for politics in general, especially for our veterans. It is time to deliver the reckoning. It is time to deliver the reckoning. We've seen this betrayal, particularly in the last 3.5 years, particularly of our service members, particularly of our troops, particularly of our veterans. And it's about time for the reckoning, not just the reckoning for any of these troops that were just treated so poorly over this COVID shot BS. And then, you know, the transgender madness that they've been pushing on our troops and throughout the whole of government and to weaken our military and to divide our military. It's time for the reckoning on that front to just stop this nonsense that's being used to divide the American people. And it's time for the reckoning for any of these troops that have been discriminated against as they tried to purge the patriots from our great armed forces. Anyway, I think that reckoning is going to come with a President Donald J. Trump and a Republican Senate and what hopefully looks like a Republican House, albeit a very closely divided Republican House. But, man, I'll tell you what, I got a chance to meet in person yesterday with Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller. Got a signed book from him as well. Stu Scheller is the guy who called out the chain of command over the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan and asked, why is there no accountability here after these deliberate failures? Why is there zero accountability? Why was nobody willing to throw their rank on the table to stand up for what was right? Anyway, I love how he signed his book. You know how you'll see somebody, if they're a retired lieutenant colonel, they'll sign their name, you know, blah, 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 lieutenant colonel retired. It'll say, you know, retired at the end of it. His says, Stu Scheller, Lieutenant Colonel, USMC, resigned. It's a great signature block. It's a powerful signature block. But, man, he was telling us in Bozeman at MSU on Friday night, 300 people and a ton of young people showed up on a Friday night in Bozeman, Montana, to hear Stu Scheller speak. And then he said the Marine Corps ball was incredible Saturday night as well. And then I was chatting with Karen Pearson from the Adaptive Performance Center. Stu even made the trip to Billings yesterday and did a great book signing at the APC, the Adaptive Performance Center, which is the first veterans-only gym in the country. And now they've got a veterans-only APC gym in Helena as well. So it sounds like they had an incredible event. In fact, Karen Pearson's going to join us later on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And then Stu came and joined us for a get together, a smaller get together with kind of members and guests and several veterans in the house for that as well. Got to catch up over a cigar at the Summit Cigar Lounge in Billings for just an incredible event there as well. But that was kind of my question is, okay, you know, what needs to be delivered with regard to a reckoning for any of these troops who were so poorly treated in the past 3.5 years plus, at least? But not only that, but what do we need to do to reform our federal government, reform our military to make it the lethal fighting force it really should be?
Securing America.
Sunday, the Marine Corps celebrated its 249th birthday. First established during the Revolution in 1775 to support naval forces, the Marines were shuttered after that war before being reestablished by Congress in July of 1798. The current commandant of the Corps, General Eric Smith, made this statement as part of a video birthday message.
For 249 years, Marines have distinguished themselves not just by their valor, but by their readiness to confront the challenges that lie ahead.
The Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, Carlos Ruiz, adding this.
Our reputation as warriors is not just a relic of our past, but a living testament to our nature.
General Smith saying that moving forward,
we must also reaffirm our commitment to our nation, our families, and the Marines to our left and right.
While also adding,
we will remain vigilant, and every Marine will be prepared to fight and win.
Tim Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, a lot went right on Election Day here in Montana. There's a lot to celebrate from Election Day here in Montana, except for a few, like CI-128. What happened there? So many of you are asking us that question. Here's what you got to do. Go back and listen to the Montana Talks podcast from Thursday's 7 o'clock hour. We had David Noble in the house. We took your phone calls and more. If you have questions about CI-28, go back and listen to the 7 o'clock hour on the Montana Talks podcast. Hey, a lot went right on Election Day here in Montana. There's a lot to celebrate from Election Day here in Montana, except for a few, like CI-128. What happened there? So many of you are asking us that question. Here's what you got to do. Go back and listen to the Montana Talks podcast from Thursday's 7 o'clock hour. We had David Noble in the house. We took your phone calls and more. If you have questions about CI-28, go back and listen to the 7 o'clock hour on the Montana Talks podcast.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'm clearing out the old stack of stuff so I can organize the new stack of stuff. I leave my show prep out after the show on Friday just in case I run in late on a Monday morning and so somebody else has to fill in or, you know, whatever. So I'll leave the show prep just kind of sitting out. And so then now I'm going through. It's like, okay, keep this, recycle that. I may want to talk about that one. This one was sitting in front of me here. Let me just throw this one out here real quick. George Ochensky, you guys remember the name George Ochensky? He's a very liberal, very, very progressive, as they call it, columnist. Nice guy. I mean, he's like a Bernie Sanders type of liberal, but nice guy. I've had him on the radio in the past. But he had a headline where he wrote this: Montana Democrats must clean the House or go extinct. If democracy was at stake in the election, I guess we can conclude that democracy is toast. And anyway, and then he goes on to just lambast the Democrat Party for the outright sweep that they all faced. And by the way, it wasn't just like they lost in close races. The Democrat candidate for governor lost by more than 20 points. So did some of the other Democrat candidates running for statewide office here. So he's saying Montana Democrats must clean the House or go extinct. I actually think, you know, it's interesting. It seems like some of the national Democrats are figuring out what went wrong and why it went wrong. And they're already trying to clean House a little bit. There's this Democrat Congressman, Seth Moulton. He's back in Massachusetts, but he basically was saying, hey, look, this whole transgender thing, I mean, look, I've got kids. You think I want a boy in my daughter's locker room? You think I want a boy taking away, you know, my daughter's sports opportunities? Ding, 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 ding. How long have we been saying that? Well, the Democrats pushed this radical agenda. So Moulton made those comments publicly. Apparently, his chief of staff and his campaign manager said, that's it, I'm out of here, and quit. It's like, all right, well, don't let the door hit you on the way out. So that's kind of a funny story at thedailywire.com. Harold Ford Jr., maybe I'll start there. He was on The Five on Friday, and he was talking about, you know, he broke down the demographic numbers. And Harold Ford's a Democrat. Harold Ford is a former Democrat congressman from, I think it was Tennessee, and he broke down the demographic numbers of just how well Donald J. Trump did with minorities across America. Let me just roll that for you.
The voters have spoken, and when Barack Obama ran for president in 2008 and created these coalitions of voters coalition of support that included Republicans, that included traditional supporters of Republican candidates for president, we were excited about it. And Republicans, I might add, the Republican Party over the last 8 years, 10 years, has really reorganized and reintroduced and reimagined itself. They're now the party of the working class. We were the party of the working class for a long time. And Donald Trump, whatever you want to say about him, his being and his political athleticism has allowed him to do that. One in three voters of color voted for Trump. He won Hispanic men by 10 points. He won voters 18 to 29 by 10 points. The way you address that is not to say to those who are 18 or 29 that you are doing something as an affront to your parents, or to say to Hispanic men you are being disingenuous to Hispanic women. No, the question is, they made a calculation that Donald Trump would do better lowering prices, securing the border, lowering crimes in their neighborhoods, making energy in America so more jobs stay in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and keeping little boys out of little girls' bathrooms and sports. Those are the issues. All this other stuff we're talking about, it may make us feel good. It doesn't make me feel good going to dinner parties this way. I just walk out now, because if they don't want to get serious and honest about what happened, we're going to find ourselves in a cycle of losing.
All right, there you go. That was a Democrat Harold Ford Jr. on The Five on Friday. But, you know, again, here's the point I wanted to make here, which is why that timed out well to play that Harold Ford audio for you right now. Some of these national Democrats are having a reckoning of their own. They're saying, God, I reckon we shouldn't push this crazy transgender business. But the Montana Democrats, oh, yeah, they might be taking shots at each other. I mean, they're all, you know, pointing fingers. You're to blame, you're to blame, you're to blame. Oh, it's the party leadership. Oh, it's these bad candidates. Ah, it's Trump, whatever. But what they don't realize is it is their core beliefs that are to blame. It is their ideology that is to blame. And it's interesting. Here they go again. Look at the liberal media in Montana. Look at the Democrats propping up Zoe Zephyr, this radical leftist, transgender, ideological radical out of House District 100 in Missoula. I guess it's a new House District now. I'll have to get what the new House District number is. But look at, They are ready to double down again with the crazy transgender propaganda heading into the legislative session. You can just see the writing on the wall already that they didn't learn their lessons, that it is their failed ideology that is the reason why they lost so big here in Montana. It looks like they're ready to double down on their left-wing lunacy ideology. I mean, that's why, look, the only reason Democrats gained seats in the legislature is because they gamed the system. They gerrymandered the districts, and they still couldn't win a majority. But they got Zoe Zephyr, the man who identifies as a woman, who helped launch the transurrection attacking our own House of Representatives, saying, oh, look at how great it is for the Democrats. They lost, and they don't even realize it yet. And so it's just funny that the national Democrats are starting to say, maybe we need to have a reckoning here. The Montana Democrats are like, looks like they're going to double down on their lunacy heading into the legislative session come January. Leadership elections tomorrow, by the way, in Montana.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Some journalists don't particularly care about the massive failure by their profession to understand the appeal of Donald Trump and why he won the popular vote and swept the battleground states. Here's Washington Post columnist Perry Bacon. Donald Trump will probably be even more extreme, radical, and cruel to his ideological and political enemies in his second term. We need another resistance to take him on. And he includes journalists in that. Maybe some soul searching about Trump's appeal, rather than absolutely deciding that he will be a monster in his second term, might be a good thing for the journalism profession as well. Meanwhile, some online are upset about President Biden inviting President-elect Trump to the Oval Office on Wednesday for the transition. So what if Trump was mean to him? Biden is opting for civility. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one,
you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, some patchy fog possible early on for Billings. Otherwise, we'll have sunny to partly cloudy skies with afternoon high temperatures in the upper 50s to near 60. Then for tonight, increasing cloud cover, chance for some rain showers late for Bozeman with lows to 33. Still staying dry for Billings for tonight, upper 30s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
What are we going to talk about now? I had one of our great listeners that I ran into at the Montana Family Foundation banquet in Bozeman ask me that question. She was from Helena. I said, oh, we're going to have a lot to talk about now. Look at what we just talked about on Friday. Wolves, grizzlies, bull trout angling in the Bob Marshall, fishing restriction, just an idea, not a proposal, in central Montana with the director of FWP on Friday's show. Monday, we got Veterans Day and much more to come. Montana Talk, statewide 9 to 10.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. And on this Veterans Day, we want to thank and honor all of the men and women of our armed forces, both past and present, for your service and for keeping America the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, the Bureau of Land Management has published proposed updates to strengthen conservation and management of greater sage-grouse habitat on America's public lands. Now, the agency says that the proposed updates outlined in a final environmental impact statement and amendments to 77 resource management plans incorporates new sage-grouse conservation science and lessons learned and accommodates changing resource conditions while increasing implementation flexibility. But not everyone agrees. Last night, I talked with the Public Lands Council's vice president and Nevada rancher Ron Sherry about some of the concerns they have.
I know that we're concerned that the effect of wild horses hasn't been adequately addressed in this plan. I don't believe that fire, we saw lots of fires out throughout the West, that it's been adequately addressed. You know, one of the biggest threats to sage grouse, if not the biggest threat, is fire. And, you know, mismanagement of the BLM and Forest Service and agencies is a reason why we're seeing fires as large and as abundant as they are. So there's a few topics that, like fire and wild horses and stuff, that just haven't been adequately addressed under this EIS.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon also expressed dissatisfaction and, among other things, said that the document offered is a product of a process that devalued state-generated science and collaboration. Now, the BLM considered roughly 38,000 comments from the public on the draft environmental analysis, along with information shared by state, local, tribal, and federal partners during more than 100 meetings held over 2 years. Protests of the proposed amendments may be filed until December 16th. For more information, you can visit us online at westernagnetwork.com or check us out on our social media channels. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now in our clearance center, we've got a 2022 John Deere Windrower 260R equipped with a 4600 Command Center Auto Track activation with a 6000 receiver. Now clearance at just $165,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance to see the full details on this unit and more. But don't wait, this unit won't last long. KC, Wyoming is the place to be November 21st for Largent & Sons Desert Mart Prime Fuel Sale. 90 coming to and 23 fall yearling bull self with over 40 direct sons of Desert Prime, a true cattleman's herd sire. Bred through dependability, explosive athleticism, and incredible outcross potential. This set of bulls will bring power stack, proven genetic potential to your herd. Lunch at noon, sale at 1 at the ranch in KC with online bidding through the livestock link. More at largeandsons.com. Well, a possible relief package for America's farmers and ranchers is in play as lawmakers return back to Washington, D.C. for the first time following last Tuesday's election. However, according to AgriPulse, chances for enacting a new farm bill before the end of the year remain low. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So we were talking about the demographics here. You heard Harold Ford Jr., who is the Democrat, former Democrat congressman, who is on the 5 on Fox News, talking about, look at how well Donald Trump did with Latinos. Look at how well, you notice he didn't say Latinx. Look at how well Donald Trump did with black men. Look at how well Donald Trump did with this group. And then, of course, you know, the crazy ladies on The View, they were freaking out because white women, a majority of white women, voted for Donald J. Trump. What about the huge support President Donald J. Trump got from Native Americans? You heard it right. President Trump earning big support with Native Americans. I've got this on our Montana Talks website right now. In fact, I first spotted this on CNN. No, not that CNN. The CNN I spotted this story on was the Crow Nation News. CNN, the Crow Nation News on Facebook. And they had shared a post with a graph, with a chart, with numbers from our friend C.J. Stewart. C.J. Stewart's a great guy. He's a former Crow tribal legislator in their Crow Nation legislature. I believe he's the energy director for the Crow tribe right now as well. He's a prominent voice on Indian energy issues all across America. But of course, the Democrats and Joe Biden tried to minimize, voices like his during these last 3.5 years because they didn't want to develop tribal energy. They wanted to shut down tribal energy, just like they wanted to shut down American energy. I digress. But anyway, the numbers he shared, this is what he shared. I'm quoting his post here that was shared by the Crow Nation News on Facebook. 64% of the Native American community voted for President-elect Trump. Now, as I read the comments on the Crow Nation News Facebook page, I noticed that some of the commenters tried to push back on the stat and downplay the results of the exit polling. And, yeah, I don't know if this number is entirely accurate or not. Apparently, it was exit polling that they used to say that, well, 64% of the Native American community voted for President-elect Trump, because it's hard to actually know who voted and how they actually voted, right? But what we can do is we can look at the majority Native American counties across the United States. The New York Times was even reporting on the big gains that Trump made in Indian country. The New York Times reports that 17 of the majority Native American counties across the United States went Republican by an additional 10 points this election. Here in Montana, President Trump won prominent Native American counties like Roosevelt, Bighorn, and Lake counties. And so anyway, so last night as I was writing this story up, I thought, you know what, I'm going to reach out to my friend Evan Wilson. You know, the Billings Senior High grad, I call him the Montana numbers man because this guy knows the numbers. That's why we called the Senate race back in June for Tim Sheehy. I'll share buddy Evan Wilson. He's the pollster with Peak Insights. And then we had his colleague, the president of Peak Insights. We had Eric Iverson join us for our post-election, the day after the election day show from the Rock and R in Bozeman. But anyway, I asked Evan, I said, hey, any good info you're seeing or hearing when it comes to the strong support for President Trump from Native Americans. And of course, then he starts, he starts going, you know, the mad scientist, genius guy on me with some of the numbers. So I'll tell you what stood out to him here in Montana, in Indian country in particular. But first, let's go into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. Tim in Billings, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. I wanted to talk about the Senate Majority Leader tussle that's going on right now. And I think that the senators that are already sitting and the senators that are coming in, they need to remember something. This mandate that they've been handed on a silver platter, it isn't because of the old way that the Senate used to do things. It isn't because of the way that Mitch McConnell used to run the Senate. It's because of Donald Trump and the Make America Great Again movement. This is the movement everybody got out and voted for. It wasn't for the old Republican way of doing things. It's for the new vision, the new way going forward. Mr. Sheehy, Mr. Dane, get on board and support Mr. Rick Scott from Florida. John Thune, fine gentleman. John Cornyn, fine gentleman. That's the old way of thinking. We're moving forward with this Republican Party. We're moving forward with conservatism. We're changing the way that America works, and it's all because of Donald Trump and his vision, not Mitch McConnell and his old way of thinking.
Well, I like what Tim Sheehy had to say. I didn't get a chance to see him on with Trey Gowdy last night. I saw him on with Neil Cavuto probably Friday, and he said, look, whoever the next Senate Majority Leader is, they need to very clearly support the America First agenda. And, yeah, right now, of the three names being floated, Rick Scott seems to be the one that would be best suited to carry that America First agenda forward. I don't know if this list of names is accurate or not. Benny Johnson says he has a GOP Senate source that leaked the internal whip count for the veto, for the leadership vote that is expected Wednesday. Here's my thing, though, like, is, you know, I'd like to see. Now, I know he doesn't want the job, because he wants to spend more time back here in Montana and doesn't want to be stuck, you know, in leadership PowerPoint presentations back in Washington herding cats. But, you know, Steve Daines did a great job running the NRSC. He was one of the most pro-Trump senators in the Senate. I think he was the first senator to endorse Trump for 2024. I'd like to see, President Trump maybe tap him on the shoulder and encourage these other senators to get somebody like Steve Daines in there as majority leader instead of the other three. You know, Rick Scott headed up the NRSC the last cycle, and he didn't win back the majority. Steve Daines headed it up this time, and he did win back the majority. Now, in Scott's defense, he didn't have Trump on the ballot to help with the red wave. But anyway, stand by, Tim. I'll come back to you after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's do a quick scene setter for those of you that aren't tracking the latest details here. Senate Republicans will pick the man who will replace Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell as the party's leader in the chamber and next Senate Majority Leader. First off, can we pour out a little liquor for the fact that Mitch McConnell will no longer be the Majority Leader? Can we just celebrate that one for just a second? Let's celebrate first. All right, now let's get to the story here. Apparently, there's three contenders vying for the spot.
After big wins on Election Day, Senate Republicans are preparing to elect their new leader on Wednesday. Florida Senator Rick Scott is gaining support from some conservative senators and influencers like Elon Musk to become the new majority leader. Scott, however, is still seen as a significant underdog. Texas Senator John Cornyn or GOP whip John Thune are believed to be the clear front runners. The Republicans' new leader will replace retiring leader Mitch McConnell.
All right, there you go. So that's the scene setter for you. Tim, yeah, what do you think about pour out a little liquor for the rhinos that ain't here? You know? Let's at least celebrate McConnell being a little 90s
that
kid reference.
Yeah. The turtle just never did finish the race, did he? He just kind of petered out there. And, you know, the rest of us are waiting with bated breath. Come on, turtle, come through for us. Never quite got there, but... No, you mentioned Senator Daines. I think Senator Daines would do a fantastic job. I think he's one of those guys that does well. He excels at whatever he does, and it's because he's a very determined and hardworking individual. He has Montana values, so he knows how to set his priorities. I think that part of the reason why he would excel at that position is because, you know as well as I do, more oftentimes than not, it's the people who are put in leadership roles reluctantly that become the best leaders because they're not craving that position.
They're not just out for the title, yeah. They're not just out for the title and the power.
He would do fantastic. But I just think that Senator Cornyn, Senator Thune, they've hitched their wagon to the McConnell train, and I guess that train's in the barn. Trump train's rolling. If you haven't been MAGA, I heard clips of Thune saying he wanted other options than Trump. That may have been in 16, that may have been 20. I don't care when it was. If you haven't been on Donald Trump's train from the get-go, I don't think you deserve a leadership position in the GOP right now. Because
It's hard to find too many people who've been on the Trump train since the get-go. I mean, even President Trump has acknowledged that. But certainly post-2020 and here in 2024, if you're somebody who was undermining President Donald J. Trump, yeah, like why even up for consideration whatsoever? Tim, yeah, great to hear from you. Thanks for sticking around. Yeah, because I wanted to get your take on, what about a Senator Steve Daines? Because you never know what could happen here in the next couple of days. And I know he doesn't want the job, but at the end of the day, President Trump several months ago said, he'd like to see Senator Steve Daines as the majority leader. And Steve Daines came out very early on in support of President Trump. And there's apparently Rick Scott is an underdog by, a wide margin, at least if the Benny Johnson count is accurate here. What I do love is how President Trump is. He's not necessarily picking a name and running a name, but he is saying, hey, the next Senate Majority Leader needs to block these judicial nominations from the Democrats in the waning days of their lame duck presidency and Senate control here. And he's also calling out another things of what the next Senate Majority Leader needs to do so that they can get the job done, because they may only have 2 years of the House and the Senate and the White House to get the job done. All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Let's see, real quick, one of the numbers that I wanted to share with you here. So I was talking about President Trump earning big support with Native Americans. So I told you how President Trump won Roosevelt County, he won Bighorn County, and he won Lake County in Montana, which, of course, have big populations of Native Americans here in Montana. So Evan Wilson with Peak Insights Polling says Trump even won majority Native American precincts in majority Native American towns like Pablo, Montana. Pablo is, of course, in Lake County. But what about Bighorn County on the other side of the state? Evan Wilson tells me that Hillary Clinton won Bighorn County in 2016 by 6 points, 43% to 49%. Trump just won Bighorn County in 2024. So he added, 6 points to his numbers? And then while Kamala Harris still beat Trump in Glacier County, which is home to the Blackfeet Nation and the Blackfeet Reservation, the numbers are a huge difference in 2024 compared to what they were in 2016. So Evan Wilson says, it may not sound like much when you listen to the numbers, but in political science terms, it's a glacier-sized shift in less than a decade. But anyway, that full story, go to MontanaTalks.com. Let's see, Tammy in Billings next up. Tammy, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I called last week about the Senate leadership, and I was just wondering, so to me, it seems like Thune and Cornyn are mini-me's, Mitchell mini-me's, but do we get a hold of Daines? Do we email him, call him, all that, and ask him to support Rick? Because I know he's an underdog, and he only ran against Mitch just to try to get rid of Mitch, so... As people look at him, he's not, kind of shake their head. He basically had the guts and the backbone to run against Mitch when he was, we all saw what he was doing back then. So, but these guys are nothing but mini-me's for McConnell. And
well, and they were weak. They were weak on the border. Both Thune and Cornyn were weak on the border, and weak on supporting Trump. And so yeah, that's what. And so yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, calls to your to the senator are always good. I mean, I would even say, hey, senator, you know, Montanans are encouraging you, be open to accepting a call to be the majority leader yourself if called upon and asked upon to do that role. So because I mean, that's the one thing is that, you know, he successfully won back the Senate majority. And that takes a lot of management. That takes a lot of, you know, managing personalities and knowing where to invest your time, where to invest your resources. And Rick Scott headed up the NRSC before and did not win back the Senate majority. Now, he didn't have Trump on the ticket at the time, so, you know, he kind of has that in his defense. But that being said, Steve Daines got the job done, so, you know, maybe he'd be, you know, willing to accept the job if called.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I had read something like Rick Scott was, because Tim Scott, I like him, but he was like Daines, and it sounds like some other good people are like Daines. They don't want to, they want a life. They don't want to have to keep going back to D.C. So I could understand that, but these guys, the way we watched McConnell backstab Trump, we saw it in action when he was first, you know, when he was president. And now he's president again, and this whole stunt was pulled by McConnell. He knows what he's doing, and he's trying to do it again, just leave one of his little guys there. And
And I also think, you know, the reason why a Steve Daines and a Tim Scott, I mean, A, they probably don't want to be tied down herding cats, right? They'd rather focus their time on other priorities. But also, let's just be honest, being in a leadership position is a thankless task no matter who you are. In this day and age, I mean, look at Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. He barely has the majority. He's never going to please hardly anybody, and so it's just a thankless job being in a leadership position. But you know, and in the Senate, you still got to deal with the Lisa Murkowskis of the world, et cetera. Tammy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Steve in Ballantyne next. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. Yeah. Can't wait for McConnell to be gone. He's worthless. But anyway, the reason I call him is you think, okay, come Wednesday, apparently Trump's going to meet with Biden. Trump would not be that stupid to lay all his cards out on the line, would he, to let him know what he's going to do so then Biden can do another Kamala and jump in and start taking credit for a lot of stuff he does here between now and getting out of the chair.
Oh, stuff's already happening. Donald Trump. Oh, this was a great line somebody shared with me yesterday. Who was it that used this? Or were we at the fights? We were at the fights on Saturday night at the bare knuckle fights. And they said, you know, like these are like, imagine you're at a party in high school and somebody says the cops are coming. And people start to scatter. Oh, man. They start to clean up the house. The world has been put on notice. They've been having this big old party, and they just been told Trump's coming and your party's over, and they are scattering. Things are already happening just because they know Donald Trump is coming into office, right? And so, yeah, whether Trump reveals the playbook or not, Steve, you just had a great prediction here. You watch and hold that thought, Steve. I'll come back to you after the break here. I got to hit the hard break. But guys, you just watch. Good things are going to happen because they know Trump's coming, and they got to get their Adam Schiff in order. So you watch as Joe Biden says, "Oh yeah, I'm the reason Qatar finally kicked Hamas out of their country."
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Legacy media is dead. I said in 2007, journalism is dead. Legacy media is dead. It is done. It is gone. It is buried. It is over. And these late night comics, they basically, you know, just start counting the days. If they're going to be off the air, it's going to be because nobody watches them because they're not funny. If the view is ever taken off the air, it's because the show sucks. Legacy media people, their influence is gone. This landslide victory on Tuesday, where he wins the popular vote. And I did ask many of you in blue states, please go out and vote, even though your state likely isn't going to go blue. A lot of you listened. I'm glad you did, because that led to a mandate election in this country.
check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you served our country or communities, there are massive benefits waiting for you. That's right, current and former military, law enforcement, first responders, teachers, you qualify for a free membership at GovX. That's G-O-V-X. They are the largest online marketplace exclusively for those people that serve. Right now, you'll save up to 40% off the most desirable brands, Ray-Ban, Oakley, Yeti, Stanley, North Face. Save up to 40% off cruises, hotels, theme parks, concerts, even sporting events. If you want to save, you need GovX, and you join 9 million other members who are saving millions of dollars on their favorite brands every month. Go to GovX.com, use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N. You'll get an additional $15 off your first purchase. The sign up is absolutely free, no membership fee. Go to GovX.com, promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, GovX, savings for those who serve.
It's November 11th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Veterans Day, not to be confused with Memorial Day or Armed Forces Day. This day is meant to honor all those who have served in the armed forces. While Memorial Day honors the memories of those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the service of their country, and Armed Forces Day honors those who still actively serve the nation's military. Veterans Day also coincides with Armistice Day, which marks the end of World War I, which ended on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. Also on this date, in 1620, the Pilgrims made their first landing in America at Provincetown Harbor, Massachusetts. And in 1921, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is dedicated by President Warren G. Harding at Arlington Cemetery. If it's your birthday today, you share it with General George S. Patton, born in 1885, and author Kurt Vonnegut, born in 1922. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your
promo code Clay. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, hopefully Steve and Valentine was able to stick around. So, Steve, yeah, I think you can mark this prediction down, and then as it happens, we can say, see, Steve told you this was going to happen. That there are things that the world is already starting to shake and move based off of the knowledge that the Donald J. Trump, that the sheriff is going to be back in town. So they're already starting to clean up their mess a little bit here. Anyway, your thoughts on that?
Well, it's like I said, the southern border issue, you know, where, you know, Kamala was the border czar and she said she wasn't. And we kept saying all Biden's got to do is stroke of the pen. Well, if Trump says he's going to take care of the border like instantly, and I'm hoping he enacts that law where he just shuts her down for a while, just literally lock it up. But would Biden actually decide, well, you know, Trump's going to do it, so I'm going to jump on the bandwagon and do it first, you know? And then that way I can go out of office saying, well, I took care of the border, you know? I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen, and I would not put it past him to do it, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about the Trump effect already. I forget where I saw this, if it was on Facebook or X, or maybe it was a message that one of our listeners sent to us. Now, you guys double-checked this list. Tell me if anything is on this list that shouldn't be on the list, or if there's something that should be on this list that isn't on the list. You know, likewise, President Trump will still be president-elect for, what, 60-some, 70 days or so? You guys do the math for me here. The Trump effect, 72 hours after winning the 2024 election. First female chief of staff appointed. New York City to stop giving debit cards to illegals. U.S. companies bringing production home. Stock market hitting all-time highs. We saw that one the morning after, didn't we? Bitcoin hitting all-time highs. Newest migrant caravan breaking up. Qatar, gutter, cutter, however you want to pronounce it. Qatar agrees to evict Hamas leaders. Ha ha, why didn't they do that already, right? Oh, well, there's a new sheriff coming back to town. Hamas wants immediate end to war. The Taliban claims they want a new chapter. China wants peaceful coexistence. Sounds like those goofball bumper stickers I've seen. Russia is ready to speak with the U.S., The EU wants to buy U.S. gas. not Russian gas. And Ukrainian leaders are in talks with Trump and Elon Musk. Things are already starting to happen because they know that the sheriff is coming back to town. Steve, thanks for that call. That was a, who was it? I think it was one of the gals at our table from Great Falls. It works for the radio stations in Great Falls. And she's like, yeah, it's like when you're at a party in high school and then somebody says the cops are coming and everybody starts to scatter. The world's bad actors are starting to scatter because they know Donald J. Trump is about to be president of the United States once again here. Such a great point. All right, let's see what all we got rolling up. Okay, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to get back to business with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Looks like I got a great Veterans Day message on the app from Jay in Billings. We'll print that one off so I can share that one with you coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of this show. Yellowstone Family Dental, they're going to announce the veteran winner later this morning in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, so that'll be cool. All right, let's see. What else do we got for you? Oh, hey, a friend of mine asked me, somebody shared a photograph from 12 years ago, back when we had another big Senate race 12 years ago in 2012. They shared a photograph of me. They're like, hey, look at this one. This just came up in my memories. And another friend saw that photograph of me 12 years ago, and they said, Aaron, why do you look better now than you did 12 years ago? And you know what I told them? Three words. Billings last diet. 12 years ago, I just got back from a deployment. I went into post-deployment celebration disorder. My kids were little. You're eating all that, you know, whatever mac and cheese they don't finish, you finish. Man, you know, so you put on the pounds. Well, I took off the pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. You can too. Check them out. BillingsLastDiet.com. They got a remote option that works for you all across the state right now.
Democracy 2024.
President Biden congratulating President-elect Trump.
And I assured him that I direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
Also speaking with Vice President Harris.
She gave her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran.
Telling Americans setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable.
I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
Calling democracy the greatest experiment and saying he hopes we can lay to rest any question about the integrity of the American electoral system.
It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent.
And urging those who disagree to see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.